phone with me. I don't think it's 40% that this article was there. But it was certainly a very well meant and friendly.
Sure, it was good.
There's no doubt.
Very positive. And I'm sure it was great, sir. It's interesting that, you know, we forget these days how many much sacrifice people must sometimes go through in order to survive.
Absolutely. Now, I see him at the table this morning, and really because I'm sending this over, and it discourse piece after piece, policy concerning illegal functions relating to military, political, and military proselytizing. Except for main force elements, or that receives combat functions, the others will continue as they did before, with terrorism, assassination, and so on. Now, there are no people who have the time to read hundreds of cables every day and see Zone as from the single stones of the mosaic. What the leaders can see is only summaries. I can see the single stones of the mosaic, and that's why I'm now very fearful about the ceasefire. I don't know, you may not wish to discuss it at all, and I certainly am not a man who wants to deflect you from what you want to say. For example, tactically, at this present moment, I have two places which I fortunately haven't. I would very definitely try to have the coming of the ceasefire into force, in legal terms, it's becoming effective, and the announcement of it as near together as possible, so that the enemy doesn't have time to use this gap between announcement and the actual effectiveness to jump forward. Secondly, I would make every tactical effort to have...
We have to see 12 hours.
12 hours, yeah. It's already, they will use the 12 hours. And then, you know, we have very clear constant directives that during the first 2 days of the ceasefire, they will not observe the ceasefire. Under the pretext that they were unable to get the word through. Now, we all must know that for 2 days, the other side will not really observe the ceasefire, except the main forces. Now, this is absolutely clear from their directives. And the other thing, Mr. President, again, a tactical aim. Now, I assume you make the great policy, I can only speak about the tactical, is the supervision international. Let's say 5,000, 7,000, Venezuelans, Swedes, Austrians, or whoever's in there. If they come 2 or 3 weeks later, too late. In the meantime, many things can have happened. So another tactical aim might be simultaneity of the ceasefire and of the supervision. Now, this is a very difficult logistic problem because if you get the people in, you will have the ceasefire later. But where is the rush? On our side, very probably not, because I'm sure, Mr. President, you have the conviction that whatever may decide these elections here at home, it will not be on the Vietnam issue.
Wrong.
Therefore, why the rush? There's no rush.
No. We must. We have said what we said. We must do what is right. If we can do what is right early, let's do it. Later, we will do later. But the most important thing is to do what is right and in our interest of everybody concerned. That's all that's very still on.
We have used the elections not in order to support the president, but in order to run up the other side against the deadline we could not change. In the past, we've always had a situation where when we gave a deadline, they'd make a concession just before the deadline. And then we have to change it. This time, we have a deadline that they cannot change. Probably it will not get settled before the election, incidentally, so we're not talking about
that. That would be good, because we're not letting them think that it might.
It is, we are leaving it vague, whether it will or not, in order to get the maximum of concessions out of it before the election.
Basically, from a political standpoint, in this country, we would prefer not to have
difficulty with Kremer has been not that we have made concessions before the election. Our difficulty has been to think up demands which could protract it beyond the election, because every demand we make, they meet within 24 hours. So we are literally running out of proposals we can make to them.
That it's a proposal that they should withdraw from South
Africa. But we've made that now. But we've made the proposal, for example, that their prisoners have to stay in South Vietnamese jails. 40,000 political prisoners should stay in South Vietnamese jails, which we thought was unacceptable.
That's interesting.
And they have now accepted that their families stay in South Vietnamese jails. Now, you know that this is not an easy thing for them to sign a document which they release our prisoners, have to release South Vietnamese military prisoners, but all civilian prisoners stay in jail.
Do they perhaps think the ceasefire as such is such an advantage to them for the psychological reason that they are more disciplined, more homogeneous than they came was?
I think they are determined, but I think there's the other factor which we have never in mind. We never obviously underestimate these people in Nigeria. They're all advantaged people. But they have taken the bombing has hurt, the mining has hurt, the attrition that has occurred to them in South Vietnam. I mean, when you stop to think of not just what we've done in the north, but the 52, those six carriers we've had out there, we have clobbered the bejesus out of them. I think, therefore, that they just may have reached the point, and it's only temporary, I agree, where they're fought there, they may have read Mao.
We may have been, in fact, too successful convincing them what the president would do on November 7th. Because we told them, for example, that all communication would be cut off on November 7th. Because the president would have to retreat to reorganize the government.
But, why do you feel that you should speak, push them instead of pressing them?
We are talking about two different periods.
Yeah.
Until October 8th, our strategy was just to waste as much time as possible. Then they suddenly started making concessions with such a rule that it was, I think, impossible for us almost to think up demands to slow them down. For example, we asked for a ceasefire in Cambodia, and they accepted that within 36 hours. Now, just giving you...
Their power is somewhat limited in Cambodia because they're the Chinese.
They say that, but we
can
handle it.
Laos, what about Laos?
That's guaranteed.
But who will be physically on the ground?
Well, we have a commission. I personally believe that for their own reasons, We talked to Tuvan Kuma, who after all is intelligent. We saw him, he said, ils sont écrasés, ils sont tout à fait battus. After he
said, that's a very strong
Now you know that Tuvan is not a man who doesn't understand the situation. He said, ils sont tout à fait battus, ils sont écrasés.
They have to. For that reason, I mean, they probably are the ones who should come more to us than we
do. Let me say that
United States ever deal successfully, because this entity of 21 million, supported by the Soviets, by China, but not by their manpower, the engineer, is relatively so small that everybody from Rio de Janeiro to Copenhagen and from Hanoi to Moscow can draw the conclusion. Obviously, the enormous American power couldn't deal with this. Therefore, as a lawyer, I would say deduction de majore ad minus, or de minore ad minus, if they cannot deal with Vietnam, with whom can they deal? That lies the real
situation. That's why the foreign policy of the United States is on the line. That's why it's always been. That's why when we, how easy it would have been politically to flush the whole thing in January the 20th, 1969.
Then I should be a strategic.
That's why, as we examine what we're doing, I really feel that we're, with those conditions in mind, that we're meeting that challenge. We, of course, right now, we don't know where. We shall see what the North says, what the South says. Let me just say finally that we believe that here, if you will, I want you to know.
necessary.